Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Let's read this together. Ready? Read. Make
Why do we make so little room for what's abundant that you guys were just discussing in our lives?
In our relationships, right? Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus's invitation is into a life of abundance. John chapter 10, verse 10. Anybody want to read it?
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
That they may have life and have it what?
More.
So not just abundantly, but what? More abundantly. So that's more abundant than abundance. You were divinely designed by God to live a life that is abundant. For you to be much more focused on abundance than you are focused on what is scarce. And in fact, the less we focus on what's scarce, right? If this be scarcity, the less we focus on what's scarce, the more it provides an invitation to focus on what's what? Abundant. So why then do we focus so much, though, on what is scarce? Anybody know why? Anybody know why? It's not rhetorical.
Fear.
Fear promotes a focus on what's scarce rather than what's abundant. What else? It's easy. Complacency is easy. Yeah, scarcity seems more real, more tangible, more tactile, closer than abundance. It's familiar. It's familiar. Anybody else? We make too much room for what is scarce and too little for what is abundant. What if you flipped it? And what if you change your paradigm, your perspective, to be what Jesus' perspective is of your life? Like the reason he died for you, the reason he rose from the grave for you. What if you were just to put more attention, just like one inch more attention, into what is abundant in your life and one inch less into what is scarce? I was practicing yoga this morning, and the yoga teacher, who's a football fan, said, today's football game will be about one inch at a time. She said, football games are one inch at a time. My cousin's not. He's a football star. Y'all good with my cousin, football star? Yeah, yeah, look at him. He's like this. Yes, yes. It was one inch for me. That dude is so cool. What if you were to put more inches into the progression toward abundance rather than the regression that is your scarcity? Well, Marlon, how do we make more room for abundance? You guys ask such great questions. Thank you so much. Matthew chapter 10, 1 through 16. Turn there right quick. Now, this topic is one that is very sensitive. Because sometimes when we hear this topic is an excuse to be mean or rude or nasty. But my intention is not to equip you with what you need to be rude or with a little punchy line to give somebody as you chunk them the deuce, right? My intention is to give you what you need to get one inch closer to what's abundant in your life rather than toward what is scarce in your life. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. He gave them what? Power. Ooh, that's live right there. To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles were, y'all know the names. I want to skip down to verse 6. Well, latter part of verse 5. He says, go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go ye, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for the journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, neither for staves, nor for the workman is worthy of his meat. Verse 11, and into Whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and thereby go hence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. Do what?
Salute
it. When you come in, salute. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not be worthy, let your peace return to whom?
You.
Verse 14. Now, this is when it gets hairy. This is when people start getting mean. So I use the scripture to be mean. Christians can be some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. I was at a concert the other day, and this lady was, like, praising God in one sentence. And then, like, I just gently tapped her toe. She was like, ugh. I was like, oh, my God. She was like, ugh. Amen, brother. Amen. I was like, oh, he's so mean. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive thee. No, I'm gonna, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 14 says, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that city, shake dust off your feet. What does that mean? That means be willing to enter gracefully and prepare to peacefully exit at the same time. So you come in willing to, oh, peace, grace. You in there. You're like, ah, ha, ha. But if people don't receive what is your asset that you have to offer, just as willing as you are to be graceful as you enter, you need to also be willing to peacefully what? Exit. Make a lot of room for intentions that are abundant and no place for attention that grows scarce. Far too many of us are in relationships professionally and relationally, right? Romantically relationships, where we are steadily trying to communicate our value and we're losing our values trying to communicate our value with someone who won't receive it. Man, this video is amazing. And I've only watched the video, not for personal reasons, but because I'm a cultural anthropologist. And I'm studying culture, right? And you got to know, you got to put your finger on the pulse of the cup. Paul did it in Greece. I mean, you just got to, you have to do this. And so it's just my burden to watch the video. And I'm a filmmaker, too. And, you know, one of my favorite filmmakers. It's hard work. And so I was watching the new video, and I thought it was amazing, but then there was a quote that struck me, and Beyonce said this. She said, the best revenge is your paper. And it's so interesting. I don't believe that the best revenge is the money that you make, but I do believe that the best way to move forward without feeling the need to prove to other people your value by being mean to them is to pursue your value and your values forward. Not to pursue money for it, but to pursue, like, that's one thing about Beyonce, dude. She really doesn't talk, like, you don't see her on Twitter, like snapping back at people. Oh, no, yo mama, look at look at what you got on. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't do that because she has far less time to focus on people whose attention toward her is scarce because she's focusing on people whose intentions for her is abundant. Hashtag shake dust. Marlon, why should we shake dust? Thank you so much. Because there are too many people to positively influence for you to be negatively ruined. You have far too many people to positively influence for you to allow any negative influence to impair that impact. Marlon, great questions, guys. How do we know when to shake dust? How do we know when? Because we don't want to do it too early. Do we want to do it too early, y'all? And we don't want to do it too late. You know what I mean? Because if you do it too late, you're going to end up being dusty, right? Shake dust when the passion is pure. Say the passion is pure.
Passion.
When the goal is beauty. Say the goal is beauty.
The goal is beauty.
And the outcomes are clear.
The outcomes are clear.
But the support isn't. Now, you got to make sure these things are true, though. When your passion is what? Pure. When your passion is not like just to make money, to be known as somebody who makes money, like that's not it, right? When your passion is rooted in how you're going to help people and further human development, right? That's essential for you to know before you shake dust. When the goal is what? Beauty. not to look pretty, not to look better, but when the goal is universal beauty, the universal beauty of all mankind, right? And the outcomes are clear. When you have made the outcomes of the relationship, the potential outcomes of your assets, if you offer them, clear. Now, don't shake dust if you haven't clearly communicated to someone why you are an asset. Don't do that. Huh? They don't appreciate nothing I offer. Well, did you clearly offer it and communicate it in a way that was an added value for them? And if all of these things are true, right, but the support isn't, hashtag shake dust. Oh, sorry about that. When the intentions are clear and the needed attention is not in relationships, please listen to me. And man, if someday I live long enough to communicate this to my daughter, I hope to. But there are far too many thirsty men and women on Instagram trying to make points to people they're in relationships with rather than making it a point to pursue a personal relationship with Christ. Shake dust. When the work has apparent outcomes, but the needed support isn't apparent. If you're in a working relationship, a business relationship, a partnership with someone, and you have made the outcomes of you offering your assets clearly apparent, but their support is not apparent, you have divine permission from the creator of the cosmos and his son who died that you might not just have life, but to have it more abundantly, to hashtag shake dust. When your intention is abundant in beauty and the attention is scarce or ugly, shake dust. Ladies, you do not have to tolerate men giving you negative innuendos about your body or about who you are as a woman just so that you can keep a job. There is not abundance in any place where you are an object rather than the subject of divine possibility. Shake freaking dust. And not just that, but when people do give you attention, but the attention is negative or nil at all, shake dust. Why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all scared to shake dust?
No.
Come on, what's the vibe right now? What's happening right now?
Absorbing. It's real.
Y'all scared? You scared? You scared? When the outcomes are clear, but the attention is not. You do not have to be in any relationship where you are ignored, statistically speaking and also biologically speaking. Do you know that relationships where people ignoring the other person as a way to communicate their value? You ever been in a relationship with somebody and they ignore your text, they ignore your phone calls, not because they're busy pursuing abundant purpose, but they're trying to show you that they're... that their intentions for you are scarce? I know you ain't talking about yes. No, statistically speaking, more relationships are ruined by people who ignore each other than relationships where even people face each other's ugly. And also neurologically speaking, when a person receives a message that they are being ignored, that communicates to that person that they are not valued, and you don't want to be in a relationship with anyone who does not feel valued, because they will lose their values around the relationship and maybe make decisions that really don't connect to what makes the relationship great. You feel what I'm saying? We think that we're ignoring them, like, oh, I'm not gonna let them know they're important. They're not that important to me. But when you ignore someone, you take away from their value. And when you take away from a person's value, it makes them believe that their values are not as important around the relationship. So they may compromise their values when it comes to your relationship simply because you negated their value because you wanted to ignore them. When someone ignores your assets in a relationship and you have made it clear about your intentions, you have divine responsibility to shake dust. We have to be willing, when people do not accept our art as fine, to know that there's a fine line between tolerance
And that line is fine between moving towards someone else whose intentions for you are abundant. We have to be willing, my friends, to shake dust.
Hashtag. Well, Marlon, how do we shake dust? I know what you're saying. You're saying, yeah, we don't want to be rude, though, right? You don't want to be rude. Great question. Peacefully like a dove and smooth like a serpent. Now, we know what doves are. We are very familiar with doves, and no one would mind a dove coming and, like, landing on your shoulder. You may consider it an omen of all things great and beautiful, right? But it's the other part that we really don't like. I do not like snakes. We were in Nairobi, Kenya, and we were driving down the street, and we came upon a black mamba that was crossing the street. And dude, a real big black mamba. And I promise, even though we were in the van, I squealed. I was like, ow! I was like, oh, God. It was like, did that just come out of you? I was like, ow! A mamba! Don't like snakes. However, Jesus uses the snake as a metaphor for how we should shake dust when it's time. And so I want to use the snake as a metaphor for the way in which we move forward. Snakes have light heads with expandable mouths, right? Did you know that evolution has made it so that snakes over time, because they swallow their prey, which is sometimes 3 to 4 times bigger than them, their heads have to have the capacity to expand, which also means, and they have to have a lot of muscle in their body to be able to digest what they, so the head has to remain what? Light. But the mouth, expandable. The same is true of us. We are far too heavy when it comes to our understanding of our own value. We take ourselves way too seriously. We have to be willing to say, you know what, it's okay if nobody likes my artwork. I like my artwork. It's okay if nobody loves me. I love me. God loves me. God died to resurrect everything that's dead about me so I can bring life and light to everything. Keep it light when it comes to who you are. And also keep your mouth wide. In other words, be able to take in as much as possible when it comes to criticism about who you are. But be sure to effectively digest that and get rid of all of the crap that does not fertilize your future. There's some that will, but most that won't. Snakes are flexible. We have to be flexible when we move, when we shake dust. We got to be flexible. Which means that even though our minds are tied to a specific outcome when we begin a relationship, what it means to be a person of faith is to be expectant of God's will, but not tied to a specific outcome. When we are tied to a specific outcome, we become inflexible, and soon we refuse to shake dust and our ideas become dusty. Snakes move very fast without limbs. Yes, they are. Sorry. Snakes move very fast without limbs. Please do not take a picture of this and put it on Instagram. What I mean by that is that snakes have the capacity to move really fast. That's because they don't have limbs. They're not always trying to hold on to things the way that we often do. Sometimes when we try to hold on to things that we should let go of, it keeps us from being dynamic in our movement. Don't get ignorant when people ignore your wisdom. Marlon, what does it really mean to, like, not hold on to things? When people ignore the wisdom that you're offering, one of the main things that we do is be like, oh, no, not, it's time for me to get ignorant. You don't respect me? Well, I'm going to be disrespectful. It's like, what? That's, like, counter to who you are at your core. Snakes move very quietly and powerfully. When you do shake dust, everybody doesn't have to know that you're shaking dust. So don't put on Instagram or Facebook, I just shook dust from this relationship. So if you see him in the club and he looked dusty, you know why. So don't you be putting this hashtag shake dust at the end of your mean tweets. Never work too hard to prove what your work is proof of. If your work is producing my vocational incubators of God's will,
My friends who are living purposefully and passionately in the will of God through the work that you do Monday through Saturday, and my prayer is that you're doing that. And if you're not, we need to have a serious conversation about how we can get you closer to you living your life purpose. When you live your life purpose, the work itself will be proof. And the more time you spend trying to prove the value of your work, the less valuable your work will be, because you'll be spending more time trying to prove it than you are making proof of it. Don't give abundant intentions to those who give you scarce attention. Sometimes, you know, I was watching my daughter the other day, man, and she was in the playground, and it was this little ashy little boy. And they were playing. No, God bless him. He's a child of God. They were playing. He was shaking dust on my daughter, man. And she was like, hey, you know, let's play. He was like, I don't want to play with you. And I was like, no, give her an opportunity to process rejection. She has to deal with it later on in life. She might as well deal with it now. Let me see what happens. She's like, why don't you want to play with me? You don't want to play? I'm fun. That's what she said. I'm fun. She's like, what? Like, are you serious? He's like, no, I don't want to play. She's like, okay. You know, she was sad for a little bit. And then she was like, she started doing something. And Phoenix has a habit of laughing to herself out loud, like really hard. She'd be like, nah! Ah! So she was laughing, having a good time. The little boy was like. He's like, hey, can I play? I was like, yeah, here's her chance. Say, no, you cannot play. She was like, yeah, come on, let's play. It's like, oh, that's so awesome. But I love that Phoenix processed the rejection in a way that was healthy. Far too many times we're still trying to prove to people that we are proof, when the proof is already in the what? Pudding. I get it. And I really think that this is probably not the best way to respond to, like, smashing on somebody athletically, to, like, it's probably not the best way, but it's his way. And until he begins to perform in a way that decreases the value of the team, let the man perform in a way that he believes honors his values. Do you know why he does the dances that he does? Anybody knows the story? Huh? He has a young family member, and the young family member encouraged him to do something that would represent their family, that would represent that, like, he didn't just do it for him, but he was doing it for the family. And so he always goes to this young family member to get a new dance move, so that when he succeeds by doing that dance. And the dance communicates not to the world. To the world, it may look like a lack of value, but to the people whose value in him is more abundant, his family, it looks like he's doing it for us and with us, and we're together. So before we begin to judge people for what they do that we think lacks value, why don't we own our own value? Dreamers are movers. Man, my friends, anybody been to Axelrad yet? Axelrad is a bar. And it's owned by some guys who are just sustainable junkies. It's a beer garden. And they believe ultimately that Houston can be more sustainable and that we can care about our environment more. And so they decided that they were going to create models that would generate capital that would capitalize on their ideas to help people become more sustainable in their thinking. So if you go to Axelrad, when you patronize them, you also patronize sustainability and caring for the environment in our community, because everything is like recycled, reused, and all of that. And I was talking to Jeff one day about Axelrad, man, this is like 3 years ago. And he showed me the building where it was going to be. I was like, wow, man, I can't imagine that building being what you say it's going to be. But when I walked there the other day and I walked into the space, it was exactly what he said it was. But in between the very first dream and the reality of the dream, do you know how much rejection Jeff and his team got as a result of trying to accomplish this vision? But consistently, Jeff remained having a smile the whole time. That's because he understood this. There is too much valuable work to be done to have to do too much to prove its value.
Jeff didn't waste time trying to prove the value of his ideas, even though he looked like a shiftless, lazy hippie, like who was not gonna make money. I do not know how Jeff like garners so much support for these crazy ideas. New living is another idea. This dude has more joint venture capitalists than the man in the moon for ideas that don't produce a lot of money. So what is it that they find value in? They find value in his commitment to his own values. And so he does not compromise his values trying to prove his value the way that many of us do. Jesus is commissioning all of you spirit renewers, dreamers, imagineers, believers, doers, to invite a new way of understanding your assets. Not that you have to prove them, but that you have to work on them as proof of God's divine plan and purpose in the world. If someone's perspective of your value is not abundant, don't you get scarce with your values and be rude and mean and nasty. You need to simply and peacefully hashtag shake dust. For where you are going is far more divine than where you will stay trying to prove what God has already proven on the cross. God didn't die for nothing. He died for something special. And you are that special, beautiful life. And not just life, but life more abundant. So he texted me the other day and he said, hey man, it would be really nice. I know y'all said y'all were gonna celebrate my birthday. He's like, but I don't want anybody else to feel slighted if you celebrate my birthday. That's this man right here. And so I ignored the text message. I probably should have texted you back. Did I text you back? Yeah. I was like, come on, man. We should never feel that people ignoring us is a way to help other people feel valuable. I want to let you know that you represent wisdom. You represent imagination. You represent creativity and passion. And it is our honor to have you as a part of our community.
Love you, Marbury.
The day you were born, God gave birth to beauty, God gave birth to passion, and God gave birth to purity, unlike any other day the sun has ever risen and set. That day was a day of true birth, true imagination, true hope. And I celebrate and honor you as my friend and also as a strong man in our community. Your value should never be undermined to make other people feel more valuable. We love you and we appreciate you. God bless you. Would you please stand and join me in celebrating this honorable man?